You know, I love it. We are where we need to be right now to help customers do this. And we're seeing the numbers tick up, right?
Absolutely.
There's not a customer I talked to today that already isn't already starting to explore the cloud, and we're ready for them. Bueno?
I may or may not have said bueno, and I think we should leave that in this cut. Welcome to another episode of Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt. I am one of your hosts, Stefan Stelter.
And my name's Matt Brown. Great to see you again, Stefan. It's been a little bit. We've had some great guests.
Yes, as the kids say, it's been a minute for the two of us to just do a mano a mano. I'm just full of language today session where it's just the two of us. Great getting caught up with you. So I'm excited to hear what you've run into over the past span of time. I can tell you that this facial hair is a Movember excuse. So it is
November. Keep the face warm.
I hate indicating any sort of temporal relation in our conversations, but I'm putting that out there just because I need to explain the hyper blonde, not white, not gray, beard hair. So moving on.
Well, it is getting cold. I wish I could use that as an excuse, but I think I've had a beard since I was 10. Just kidding. I'm like everybody I know has ever seen me without one. So.
Oh, that's too funny.
But yeah, so it's interesting now living, I guess we can say, the post-COVID world, but I'm still waiting for whatever new normal is because I still haven't seen things that I would say are predictable or normal by any stretch of the imagination, you know. Finally, you know, people are getting back into the EBC, going back to big corporate events. It is, you know, fantastic to see people in person. I do not miss my commute. I hope that doesn't change. So, what about you? What about the more macro things? What have you seen?
For me, we've had the fortune of spending time with our partners in the field in person. So, talking a little bit about post COVID, and that's been fun and interesting. I suspect others can identify with this as well. This is not a new observation on my part, but being around people again after 2 years of not being around people takes practice for everybody. I'm going to say that, even though it sometimes feels like it's just me that needs the practice being around other humans, but it is very interesting. You don't quite know how to handle the interpersonal stuff when you're not staring at one place. You know, this idea that you can get up and walk around while you're in a group setting, there's not a camera that I need to be attentive to. I can just stand in the back of the room and continue listening to the content. But yeah, we've been educating partners on the latest and greatest in what's new and exciting about NetApp and helping them communicate that to their customers. So that's been fun. It's been the fun bit.
Let's talk a little bit about that. You know, partners, thank you for our partners. We love our partners. Our partners are the way we do business. Have you seen any recent changes in trends based on the customer demands? I mean, because that might be something we should kind of explore a little bit. I'd be very interested in that.
Yeah, no, I think partners are very excited about what NetApp can bring to their end user customers. I think we're seeing the continued curiosities about the cloud from some end user customers, and we're seeing, you know, well past that with other customers where we're fully into one or more clouds. And are really looking to finish up our transitions into the cloud. So we're seeing that from some customers, and partners are excited about helping them along the way there. There are some interesting stats that I've heard recently that are fun to think about. I believe it was 33% of organizations surveyed have more than one cloud in their current approach. So they have on-premises and then they have more than one of the big three, and the expectation, apparently the trend line would dictate that in 2 years or so, that is expected to increase to something like 66%. So go from people with multiple clouds to 2/3 of people with multiple clouds. So I don't have the details on what slice, statistics are fascinating always, but I don't know what slice of the world that entails. Are we talking about enterprise customers who are in that boat? I'm sure there are some small organizations who are, you know, maybe 100% cloud, one cloud, and that is just their SaaS provider for their CRM, and that's all they really do with IT anyway. I don't know, right? There's organizations that are certainly smaller in the scale where that 66% would feel preposterous to them. But of course, they might fit into the the remaining 33% in 2 years that have do not have multiple clouds in their setup.
Right.
But interesting.
So in that space, I mean, that's a pretty healthy number, one third. So if that's a behavior and that is something that people are saying, hey, this is already part of our world, how is that influencing what products our partners are looking at? Have you seen any changes to that? And I guess where I'm going with that, really talking about our cloud solutions, our cloud tools. I mean, have you seen any uptick related to that one third?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it seems that there's an increasing value placed on solutions that help manage across multiple clouds. So trying to speak the lingua franca of the cloud X is great for the one team that's using cloud X. But then when another group inside the organization needs to use cloud Y and they're speaking a different language, how do you manage that from a governance perspective, from a data protection perspective? These things all become challenging if you're looking to centralize some of that work. Okay, so it's great that you charged forward in the cloud because it helped you innovate quickly, but now we need to start putting some corporate guardrails on it and make sure we understand we're not giving up personally identifiable information into the clouds and we're not leaving that exposed in an S3 bucket, for example, right? We're trying to prevent those things, but how do you do that? And then also manage, well, what about Blob in Azure? Because we're using both Azure and AWS. We have to think about S3 and Blob differently. And how do we make sure we're doing, like, what's the process for doing that across clouds? So tools that make that easier, certainly NetApp has a bevy of them, and that seems to be appreciated by the customers in that 33% for sure.
Well, that's interesting. So I always find it, at least for me, having been doing this role for a while, it always seems to start off, the conversations always start off with archiving. I would argue it's critical, but it's the most boring part of our job, right? Yeah. but it's critical. You can't underestimate how important it is. And it's funny to see that even in this thing, the first thing people are interested in is archiving. Are you seeing the more advanced stuff? How do you manage workloads? Then when you get into that world about security, do you see any uptick in those conversations?
Yeah, no, I think if I said archive, I may have misspoken in there.
Mentioned Blob and S3, which
yes, I got you. So that in your head, you go straight to archive and that.
I do for some reason. Sorry,
that's too funny. Yeah, no, I think of the apps that kind of prefer to speak object in by nature, in the way that the developers are.
Oh, okay, sorry.
From a simplicity perspective, that's where that was coming from in my head. So it is interesting to see that, but yeah, it's across the spectrum from what I'm hearing from partners. We got partners that are very involved cloud practices, and I think that's becoming a bit of their challenges as well, as partners choose a cloud and become proficient in it. How do you manage this 33% that's growing to 66% presumably in the next couple of years? You've got to build out another practice in one of the other clouds or more than one of the other clouds to try to accommodate as much of that market as you can. I'm excited to see partners warm up to our tool sets to help them as they think about their cloud practices and just simplify their
approach. That's an interesting point too. I mean, so if I was a partner and my customers already told me that a third of them are already looking at least one cloud, and within a fixed period of time, that business is going to double. It seems to be the right time to prepare. Now, when you're talking about establishing services or creating services to help customers, does any specific services that partners are focusing on stand out?
Yeah, it is interesting because there's a bit of a similar behavioral diversion, I suppose, when you think about some partners are comfortable providing the infrastructure analog in the cloud or the infrastructure as a service and consulting on the infrastructure as a service capabilities. And then there are other partners who have maybe started more in the application refactoring approach, and we're going to help you get from where you are today in your monolithic multi-tiered application and convert it into something that's more microservices based and provide the consulting along those lines to less of a lift and shift and more of a refactoring approach. And then of course we have partners who are able to do any or all of the above. And it certainly seems that the customer's journey varies by application there as well. There are certain things that are much more amenable to to building new. So it's not even refactoring. It's let's do this microservices from the ground up. Let's start our innovation in the cloud with those capabilities. And then there are other applications within the same organization that end up being more of a lift and shift. Let's try to get these things into the cloud by hook or by crook and find ways to do it in re-engineering the infrastructure in a similar way, but it's just in the cloud rather than on premises. So it seems to be a collection of things.
Interesting. Well, so the refactoring conversation is always interesting. I think probably to every IT person who has to deal with that fact and the fact that the business isn't going to stop unless you redo it while you're trying to do it. In that context, you talked a little bit about microservices. What else is involved in that refactoring practice that some of our partners are building? Is it, am I wrong that would say that they're moving it more to containers based? I mean, what's the feel, the themes there?
Yeah, that seems to be the themes. And when it's net new, it seems to be a little easier to get your arms around in some respects. But when you're trying to refactor and build in the cloud, there are things that you maybe took for granted in an on-premises multi-tier application around the way that data flows and the way that users are authenticated. You just have to think about these things differently in a containerized world. And how are you going to manage that when it's no longer, well, they're sitting at their desk and inside of our environment, right? It's a bit of this transition, thinking about the COVID, the work from home world. Well, now we're having our app lives in a containerized form out in the cloud, and they're going to be connecting through a different pathway, not necessarily through a VPN. Potentially, right? So trying to figure out all of that becomes a different conversation. And I think a lot of our partners do a great job of illuminating those areas. But those are the ones that I'm seeing. I'm wondering what jumps out at you from that that refactoring conversation.
I say it's exactly the same. But it calls out a different point too. And not that this is wrong, but most of the time when I engage with a partner, they're still talking to storage people. When you're talking refactoring applications, you're not talking to storage people anymore, right? So that seems like there's a shift there too. Is that a fair statement?
I think you're absolutely right. Yes. And maybe it's the lens through which we look at the problem. It becomes a significantly larger issue than just getting the data where it needs to go. It alluded to the user access piece, but business rules logic, how you think about those things and how they need to be encoded in the new framework becomes a challenge.
Well, it's always, I'm going to kind of put in a small plug here for NetApp. I mean, as we're moving and we're seeing it in the partner space, we're seeing it in the individual customer space, people moving more to containers. Containers gives you a lot of flexibility to scale up, more importantly, scale back down when you're not using it. But also the ability to potentially move workloads. And what NetApp has a unique feature is with Astra, right? The ideal that you can actually run workloads in two different locations, giving far more flexibility. So it feels like all this is going in the right direction, regardless of any one cloud provider. And it seems like if we're going to do this right, the hybrid or the multi-cloud seems to be the best option, because then I can then move my workloads pretty much anywhere I need them. And really then do either a play-by-pay thing where wherever's the cheapest I can move it, or whoever has the most features and functionality that I need right now. Having that mobility of that application seems to be a very powerful end goal that some of these our customers are trying to get to.
Agreed.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. There's a ton in there, and I let the record show that you invoked the NetApp product name before I did. And probably we can go back. I feel like it's going to be one of those commercials where you can throw a red flag. Like, let's just go back and let's look at. I'm glad we're recording this. We'll be able to find out who actually invoked the NetApp product name first. But yeah, no, Astra is one of those things that's just remarkable to me because of the power that it affords customers, the flexibility that it affords customers. And it brings up a lot of different thoughts in my head. One of them is just really thinking about how important it is to protect some of these open source database implementations that folks are using. So even though you're using containers, the data still needs to live somewhere. Maybe it's Cassandra and not a more traditional database like Oracle. But how are you going to protect that? How do you quiesce that? How do you think, well, we need to think about these things, right? Like, it's great that you can get it done and you can do it with a, less of a licensing cost than you might have from one of the traditional database providers. But how do I protect it? How do I snapshot, quiesce, restore from, put a copy somewhere else? Like all of these things you need to think about. And Astra does a whole bunch of that in a way that's very, very flexible and is not dependent on traditional NetApp hardware underneath the covers.
Right.
That's the challenge. Anytime people see the NetApp logo, they just assume that there's, you know, like, oh, sorry, wrong shoulder. There's NetApp iron behind it, right? And there needs to be, or NetApp virtualized software iron behind it. But just knowing that Astra doesn't care, it sees the persistent volume claims and can call whatever appropriate mechanism under the covers is exposed via that persistent volume claim. That's really, really cool, or that PV in general, right? So that's really cool. And we also afford some really neat things with Astra data stores to create a reliable, resilient storage infrastructure out of just nodes in a containerized environment. And that's mind blowing.
That's huge
to a lot of people. Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other thing, I feel like I'm off on a rant over here now, I'm on a soapbox of fun. The other thing that I think about in that context around containerization and what the options are for customers, you start thinking about that mixed environment where maybe we're containerizing some things and maybe we're lift and shifting some things. Going back to invoking some other NetApp product names, when you think about what we're doing in Amazon AWS with FSx for NetApp ONTAP being available as a data store to VMC, to the VMware cloud capabilities inside of AWS, that's a really cool thing for the lift and shift option. When I'm not trying to refactor, I need to migrate my data center or provide a DR site without fixing some of the things that we've got from a refactoring perspective. I should air quotes fixing things. That lift and shift becomes really flexible, and we just announced the capability. It's just now generally available. Microsoft just announced the general availability of that capability in Azure with Azure NetApp File and the VMware capabilities that Azure offers. So great to see those options out there for customers and partners to help with that lift and shift approach. And then, you know, clearly we've got great tools for the refactoring approach as well.
I love it. We are where we need to be right now to help customers do this. And we're seeing the numbers tick up, right?
Absolutely.
There's not a customer I talked to today that isn't already starting to explore the cloud, and we're ready for them. So, you know, I think it was great to provide a quick summary there, especially in context of, you know, the whole, you know, helping customers. It's not about, it's all about the data.
Yes.
But it is also about how our end users consume data, which is through applications. So talking about the refactoring, I think was, to me, it got me all excited.
Yes.
I want to go talk to a customer right now.
Yes. Yeah. And the very last point I'll make on this that comes to mind, again, in this conversation is, boy, NetApp, you sure do talk a lot about walled gardens and how nice it is to be in one walled garden until you need to go to another one, right? And NetApp is the one to help the 33% that have multiple clouds in their environment, soon to be 66%. And how do I support multiple clouds? How do I do that efficiently from a governance perspective and from a management perspective? NetApp is the answer to that question. But the cynic in me or in anyone, I think the cynical view there is that, well, you just created a new walled garden and it's a NetApp walled garden, right? And it's the reality of just the way that we don't impart a proprietary piece to that data,
right?
That's the part that makes it a little different.
And that's the part that gets exciting. Yes.
Yes, absolutely. And you realize that, you know, it's NetApp technology in AWS that drives FSx for NetApp ONTAP. But that is an Amazon service that's provided by them. So, you know, there's a whole lot of goodness for a customer in terms of the flexibility that we're offering and just the way that we're putting the data up there. In a way that they can use, manage, protect in the ways that they see fit, and inspect it, whether it's NetApp stuff or non-NetApp stuff. That's the other fun things, the way that we're helping with the observability and governance compliance. And it doesn't need to live on NetApp in order for us to do those things. I love our capabilities there.
I do too. You got me all excited, man.
I'm proud of them. There's a lot of things going on. I love
there's,
it.
And we haven't talked in a while. But clearly, like you had said, there is a lot going on. And like I said, it's all exciting stuff. I mean, I feel like finally our customers are ready to hear this. And that's what I'm hearing from you as well, specifically through the partners as well. So, you know, Stefan, always great. Really enjoyed the conversation today. And what do we always say?
First, I think we need a like. Well, what we need, we would love
feedback.
You enjoyed this.
First feedback, then like it, and yes, then get your friends, your grandma, your mom, get them to subscribe too. We'd love to have, you know, a bigger audience. And Stefan, you know, I know we've been talking to Darcy at some point. I want to have a live event. I'm really looking forward to trying to figure out.
Yes, we need to do another in-person one of these. Yes, yes.
Excellent.
Take care, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you on the next Cloud Chat with Stefan and Matt.
Have a great day.